For the sake of the recording, it's Matthew 28, verse 16. Let me pray for us. Father, again, we're thankful that you've gathered us here together this morning. And Lord, as always, we want to hear from you. We want to hear from your word, and we want to hear straight from your heart. So Lord, as we study your word this morning, just speak to us and transform us. Help us really get what it is that you told your disciples in this passage. Help us to hear from your heart and from the throne room. And as always, we take authority over the atmosphere in this room, and we bind any spirit that would cause a distraction in the name of Jesus. We bind any spirit that would cause doubt in the name of Jesus. We bind any spirit that would cause confusion in the name of Jesus. And we bind any spirit that would cause a lack of understanding in the name of Jesus. Only the Holy Spirit may speak and move and have his way in this place. And Holy Spirit, we invite you to come and to speak to us and to transform us this morning. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, this week I want to talk about, we're still in our Seek First series, and we're going to talk about Seek First, the mission of God. We have to understand and know what the mission of God is and be on mission with him. And so we're going to look at that as it relates to the spreading of the gospel today. And then as God's good serendipitous nature would have it, for next week on the schedule, I had Seek First, the justice of God. And with what happened this week in our city with AJ, I will give some very specific things that we can do to be about justice in a God-centered way in a situation like what happened here this week with little AJ. But today, let's look at what it means to be on mission with God as it relates to the gospel. So after the resurrection of Jesus, he appears to his disciples, and he gives them these marching orders here in this passage. He gives them the mission of God, right? And again, if we want to be on mission with God, we have to understand what the mission is. What is it that we're going to join him in doing? A couple of weeks ago, I did a message on the church, Seek First the Church, and I talked about what the mission of God was related to that. And then I talked a little bit about the mission of God and my message on that the kingdom is every tribe and every tongue and every nation. Today, post-Easter, I want to come back and look at another very crucial part of what being on mission with God is. If we're going to seek first his kingdom, then we have to know what our purpose is and what our mission is. And so again, this is his final words to his disciples, and he makes that mission very clear. He's saying, hey, my time is up, but it's time for you to go. So Matthew 28, starting in verse 16, he says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Now, in this statement, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, Jesus gives his disciples and us another big part of what it is to be on mission with God. What is the mission of God? The Missio Dei. Now, as I mentioned in my message on the church, the mission of God is to destroy the devil's work, right? Jesus said that he came to destroy the work of the devil, and so that's the mission of the church, is to destroy the work of the devil. In my message on the kingdom is every tribe and every tongue and every nation, I said that's part of the mission of God, is that we reflect the diversity of his kingdom. But now here, the mission of God is also to take the gospel to the ends of the earth, to make known to all the nations and to make disciples in all the nations. Now, let me be perfectly clear. This is both across the street and around the world. You're going to hear me say that a lot today. It's across the street and around the world. This was Jesus' intention, and it has always been the vision of our church, that we would reach those across the street and that we would reach those around the world. Now, in this statement, go and make disciples of all nations, there are two parts, right? Make disciples, go to all nations. Let's start with the go to all nations, and then we'll come back to make disciples. So let's start with this idea of making disciples in all nations. Jesus makes this statement to his disciples, and it represents a fundamental truth of who God is. He is a God of all nations. Amen? Now, pop that next slide up, Aaron. In the NIV, The word nations is used 537 times. Let that sink in for a minute. 537 times God refers to himself as the God of all nations, or he says, go to the nations, or I'll reach the nations, or I'll punish the nations. But he's a God of all nations. Think about it. Look at my Bible. 537 times in here, there's a reference to God being God of all nations. I think he wants us to get this. So this should be a fundamental truth in how we understand who God is and what his mission is. Briefly, let me sample just a couple of those passages, and then we'll get back to the one in Matthew 28. Look at this one in Matthew 12, 21. In his name, the nations will put their hope. How can they put their hope if they haven't heard the name? The nations of the earth will put their hope in the name of Jesus Christ, but they must hear the name of Jesus Christ. Matthew 24, 14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. He says it twice, whole world, all nations, and then the end will come. Do you see the end times are tied to the fact that we must go to all the nations? All the nations must hear the name of the Jesus before the end times can come. Because why? He's a God of all nations. Therefore, all nations must be represented in the kingdom of heaven, so they must hear on earth. Matthew 24, 47. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Until they hear the name of Jesus and come to believe, they are still under the burden of their sins. It started in Jerusalem, but it goes out from there to all nations, across the street and around the world. People look at the world and they complain about all the chaos and all the wars and all the terrorism and all the things happening on the earth. And they look at those people as if they're somehow evil. And I look at those people and go, no, they need Jesus. You want to transform a terrorist? Just tell them about the love of Jesus. And so it is essential that the gospel start with us, but go across the street and around the world. We cannot lose the force of this statement that God is a God of all nations. His mission is to take the message of his son Jesus from Jerusalem to all nations. Again, across the street and around the world. And guess what? His plan for doing that is you. It's us. We're in this together. Not everyone goes overseas, but everyone participates somewhere. Amen? Yet we live in a world that has a very different view, sadly. I hear statements all the time to the effect of, why bother with those people in that other country? Just focus on the problems here. That does not accurately reflect who God is. That does not accurately reflect the mission of God, and that does not accurately reflect the character of God. This is a both and. Across the street and around the world. It's both. They all need Jesus. To be in the center of God's will, to be on mission with God, is to be active in missions across the street and around the world. Now, I think for most people, we get the need to be on mission here locally. But for various reasons, we lose sight of our call to be on missions to the nations. But when we get this, when we get God's heart for the nations, we get a bigger, fuller picture of who God is. I'm sorry, but if we think that God is only for us as an American, we've largely missed who God is. So let's focus a little bit on what it is to go to the nations, and then we'll come back in a minute and focus on local and making disciples. So let me ask a question then. Why is God's mission to the world seen so negatively? I have taken great heat the last couple of weeks for the idea that we're supposed to be on mission. So I have a few thoughts on why this is seen so negatively. Maybe you can relate to one. I hope not. Number one, lack of understanding that God is the God of all nations. Maybe you didn't know that it says 537 times in the NAV that he's a God of all nations. Sometimes we just don't know. We just didn't understand that. I also think there's actually a demonic spirit. There's actually a demonic presence that pushes against the church, trying to keep us from this understanding. Because when we get it, the kingdom of God comes on earth in greater measure. And of course, the enemy doesn't want that to happen. Another reason, I believe, is simply lack of understanding that God commanded it. You know, I grew up in a church tradition that never, ever taught this. I never once heard in my church growing up that we were supposed to go to the ends of the earth and that God commanded it. Like, they never mentioned that. I discovered that as an adult, and I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool. I get to go overseas and tell people about Jesus? This is amazing. Here's another reason. Spirit of poverty or scarcity thinking. You know, spirit of poverty, that's a real thing. If we give to them or we go over there, there won't be enough for us. I hear people say that all the time. And I respond with, wow, you have a pretty small God. Here's the reality of this, though. When we work over there, we get blessed here. When I go over there, wherever there is, I get blessed here. Because I'm faithful to be on mission with God. Here's another reason, fear. Just plain old-fashioned fear. What if you get hurt? People tell me all the time, aren't you scared to go over there? I live in Chicago. I'm on mission with God. What am I going to be fearful of? Here's another one, not understanding God's grace. It's easier to judge people we don't understand than it is to carry God's grace to them. You've heard me use this illustration before, but my friend Robbie Dawkins, who now has a pretty well-established ministry to both Iraq and Iran, and he takes extraordinary heat for going to those countries. Because here in our country, Iraq and Iran are simply seen as our enemy. Why would you go to them? So a lack of understanding of who the Iranian and Iraqi people really are prevents them from being able to see their need for God's grace. Comfort. We don't want to be on mission with God because we like to be comfortable. Here's my own story that you've heard me share before probably. Very first time I went to Senegal. I'm standing on the roof. No, I'm sorry. I was out in a village. I'm out in a remote village. And we'd gone into this village and we asked the village chief, have you and the people in this village ever heard the name of Esau? That's how you say Jesus there. And he said, no, we have no idea who Esau is. This is a remote village, right? But I'm looking around the village and I'm seeing Coca-Cola products. And so I prayed, I cried out to God. I'm like, God, how is it that they don't know your name, but they have Coke? And what I felt like the Lord responded to me with was, Coke is motivated by profit. My church is motivated by comfort. Sometimes we don't want to go on mission because we just don't want to be uncomfortable. Here's another one, not willing to pay the price. The mission of God will come with a great personal cost. It did for Jesus, right? It did for Paul, did for all the disciples, right? There's this great little thing that Paul says twice. Twice he says, follow me as I follow Christ. Have you ever looked at what Paul's life was like? How many times he was beaten and stoned and shipwrecked and starved to death? And yet he says, follow me as I follow Christ. He's inviting us into a life that will be a price. And so sometimes we just don't want to go on mission because I don't want to pay that price. But we must remember our Savior Jesus did. Here's another reason, misplaced or missing faith. Oftentimes I see that people are just trying to make faith work for themselves to fit it into their life and beliefs. A self-focused faith is all about me. But when we are on mission with God, we allow God's faith to work in us so that he fits into us, and guess what? He is big. You see, it's not about how he works for me, it's about how he works in me. And when I'm allowing him to work in me and his big faith to be in me, then I can go on mission across the street or around the world. Here's another one. This will hit close to home. As Americans, we tend to have a me-first, self-reliant attitude. Right? Rugged Western individualism, everybody for themselves, I can do this, I don't need your help. And so if I think that way, then I don't have a compelling vision to be on mission. Other countries like China are actually sending missionaries to the United States because they think we need it. There's a huge, massive mission school in China raising up missionaries to come to the United States to evangelize us. Here's another one that's similar, but it's different. Nationalism, because this applies to any country. Thinking that a nation or any nation, our nation, any nation is better than some other nation. But this ignores that God is the God of all nations and that all people are created in his image. How can we say that my nation is better than your nation if they're created in his image and we're all children of God? But if I think that my nation is better than your nation, I'm not very compelled to come to you. Paul says no one should consider themselves better than others, but in humility, you should seek to serve one another. So how do we overcome some of these negative things that we just looked at? All right, let's go back to the passage, Matthew 28. Let's start looking at verse 17. Verse 17 says, when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. The disciples have all gathered on this mountain post-resurrection, and they're having a worship service. I would love to have been a part of that worship service, wouldn't you? And those who believe him, and they've seen what Jesus has done, they've gathered, they're not sure what to expect, but they're worshiping him. And it is into this worship service, it is into this doubt that existed around them that Jesus speaks and gives this great commission. So there's two things we've got to take away from this. First, the call to do missions is born out of worship. The call to do missions is born out of worship. The seed for world missions, whether it's across the street or around the world, is planted into the hearts of worshipers. The mission could not be planted into the hearts of those who were scattered and hiding in fear. There were some who did not come to this mountaintop because they were fearful. They missed the call to missions. Our call to do missions today still comes from this place of worship. Our doing missions is the continuation of our worship. It comes out of our worship. It's born in worship. Our motivation for missions is born out of worship. It can come from nowhere else but worship. If we go across the street, if we go around the world, and it's coming from any place other than worship, it won't work. It has to be in our worship of Jesus. But it says that some doubted. Jesus spoke this great commission into a group of people who had some doubts. And wouldn't this still be true for us today? Is there anybody without a doubt today? It's okay that we have doubts. It's okay that we live in a world where there are doubts. But rather than let our doubts drive our actions or inactions, let's bring our doubts to Jesus as Thomas did. So missions is born out of worship. But we can't allow our doubts to drive our actions or inactions. Amen? Verse 18. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority. How much authority? All. You know, in the Greek, you know what it says? It says all. What's left for the enemy? If Jesus has all, what does the enemy have? Zero. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. The implication here in this passage is that Jesus is then transferring that authority to us. So we do this in his authority. We go on mission with his authority. We operate in his authority, which removes the fear. If I go on mission thinking this is up to me, I'm in trouble. But if I go on mission thinking that I'm operating in his authority, I got this. And I'll be the first to tell you, I've been in situations in places of the world where it wasn't going to happen on me. So we must remember that we are carriers of Jesus' authority and that we go on mission under his authority. He's deputized us all to go. Verse 19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Again, he's calling us to the nations, something that we can often lose sight of. You see, so often our own difficulties, our own problems right in front of us become so consuming that we lose sight of the fact that we're called to the nations. And people will come to me and be like, well, why worry about those folks when we have problems here? And I'm like, you show me what you call a problem here. And I'll show you what they call a problem there. I have this conversation all the time. I just had this conversation this week. By the way, one of the organizations that we support is Equip Mozambique. The founder, that John Renego, was with us this week. He just stayed with us one night as he was making a whirlwind trip through the U.S. He and I had this conversation. When you wake up in Mozambique, you ask yourselves two questions. Will I eat today? And will I die today? Who here in this room has a problem that is equal to that? Who here didn't eat today and there's no hope of you eating today? Who here today thinks there's at least a 50-50 chance that you'll die today? Anybody? This is what we're called to the nations. Our God is much bigger than our circumstances. And here's the thing, when we get too focused on our own circumstances, that's all we get is our own circumstances. But in the midst of our circumstances, if we can keep our eyes on Jesus, remain on mission with him, and go across the street and around the world, then we get all of his abundant resources added to us. But if I just focus on my problem, that's all I get. I get that and nothing more. The other thing to take away from this verse, and it's super important, is that Jesus told us to make disciples. He doesn't call us to the nations to fix all of their problems. He calls us to the nations to make disciples of Jesus. He calls us to the nations to make the name of Jesus known and to teach them what it is to operate in that. Maybe again, in our world, where we live in a very Christian inoculated culture, I'll call it. We've all heard the name of Jesus. Even the atheists, even the people on the street that have never set foot in a church, they know something about Christianity and Jesus, right? I've been into multiple villages in multiple countries that have never heard the name of Jesus ever. So this need to make disciples is still as relevant today as when Jesus said it, because there are still people that don't know. I've been into villages that I was the first white person they ever saw. We are to preach the gospel and bring the kingdom to every nation, across the street and around the world. We share with our neighbors and we share around the world where we're called. And we make disciples. We teach them what it is to be a follower of Jesus so that they can begin to operate in that same authority. A couple of years ago when I was in Mozambique, this is a country that has zero healthcare. Zero. There is one doctor for approximately every 300,000 people. So healthcare in Mozambique is not an option, right? But we believe in the authority of Christ. We believe that everything in this thing is still true. And we believe that the gifts of the Spirit and things like healing are still true for today. We can still pray for somebody and see somebody get healed today, right? So I go into this remote village in Mozambique and I taught them to pray for healing. 100 people got healed that night. I prayed for no one. I taught one person. She prayed for somebody. They got healed. I taught 10 more. They prayed for people. They got healed. The whole congregation figured it out. 100 people get healed in one night. That's what it is to make disciples. Do you see how that's pretty important? Verse 20. And teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. He starts by saying, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. That's what it is to make disciples. People ask me, well, what does it mean to make a disciple? Just teach them what Jesus said. We don't have to get real fancy. We don't have to get real elaborate. Just take this book and teach them everything that Jesus said. And then say, obey it. But of course, we better be obeying it so that we're not hypocrites when we teach them. But it's really easy to make disciples. Just teach them what Jesus did. Do the things that Jesus did. And then Jesus ends this command by reminding us that he's always with us. It's his mission, and he sent us on it. We're joining him, but he never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He's always with us, which again takes away the fear. I'm not out there on my own. I'm not going to my neighbor across the street, and I'm not going around the world because I felt like it. And Jesus is with me. Now, let me deal real briefly with this idea of local missions. Like, we got to go across the street, too. As we clearly just saw, God calls us to all the nations, and yet he also calls me to my next door neighbor. And yet we often lose sight of this as well. Here's what I find interesting. I love to point out double standards. So often when I hear people complain about why do you go overseas, why do you spend so much time on overseas missions, I look at their life and I see zero local activity in their life as well. The reality is, it's the same mission and it's the same message. If I'm not enthused about going over there with it, I'm not going to be enthused about going across the street with it. I've got to be captured by the person of Jesus and the mission of Jesus before I can go across the street or around the world. So if you're complaining about one or the other, my guess is you're the victim of a double standard. And you haven't fully been captivated by the person and mission of Jesus. If you don't like the thought of doing missions overseas, you're not going to like doing missions here. And if you don't like doing missions here, you're not going to like doing missions overseas. I also think that sometimes local missions becomes white noise. We get really busy with our own life. We get really busy with stuff that's going on. And local mission just becomes white noise. Yeah, we're serving at the food pantry again. Blah, 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 blah. You know, when we serve at the food pantry, that's being on mission, right? We not only get to serve those in need, but we get to pray for them. We get to introduce them to Jesus. We've had people in this church come to know Jesus because we met them at the food pantry. Going to the food pantry is being on mission. So when you hear us announce food pantry or when you see food pantry in the bulletin, don't let that just be blah, 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 white noise. That's being on mission. Right? I'm going to come back to that more in a minute. I will shock you all and say, I'm going to begin wrapping it up with this. What? It's a miracle. If we are going to seek first the kingdom of God, we must join God on his mission. Across the street and around the world. But the mission of God is not that we would have a nice, comfortable life for ourselves. There is something in our culture that keeps telling us that to be a Christian is to have a good life. Comfortable, nice car, nice house, and then big wall around it to protect it. That's the Christian life. Might I suggest to you it's a bit more than that? Please do, was the comment. The mission of God is to make the saving grace of Jesus Christ known to the whole world. And I might have to climb over barbed wire to tell somebody. Jesus climbed over a crown of thorns to tell me. And I don't care whether it's across the street or around the world, his chosen instrument to make his message known is you. Again, not everyone goes overseas, but everyone participates somewhere. When we go after those who are the lost and the least, we fulfill the mission of God, and then God meets us in that. As I already said, we get supplied as we go on his mission. Globally speaking, for us as a church, the Crystal Lake Vineyard, we take serious this call to be on mission with God, and we can't go to every country as much as I would like to, So we focus on two countries, Senegal and Mozambique. That's where we're invested. But we're also focused on our own local community. And we've got so many different ways that we're involved. We've actually recently, about two-ish months ago now, we started an outreach team. And you're going to begin to hear from them more and more and more. We've already faced a significant amount of spiritual warfare just with the team. But you're going to begin to hear from that team more and more and more as we better communicate what we're doing locally and as we better plan what we're doing locally. But we are called to our neighbors across the street. Amen? And we're going to go. Now, in this Seek First series, I've been giving you homework. So here's your homework. And you might not like it. And I don't put the homework in the outline because I want you to write it down. Because when you write something, you remember it. Three questions, and each has a sub-question or two. I forgot to. Number one, question is simple. Where is your heart for God's mission? Where is your heart for God's mission? This is the question we've been asking in the evangelism class. If you join the class with Amit, as he's been leading us through those books on evangelism, this is the key thing that Amit's been leading us into is, where's our heart? Where's our heart? Are we on mission with God, and where's our heart? Are you excited about God's mission? This is all question number one. Where are you at? Are you excited about God's mission? And if not, why? Like, if the thought of being on mission with God is like, oh, gosh, why? So question one, where's your heart for God's mission? Are you excited about being on missions with God? And if not, why? Number two, what is your local involvement missionally? What is your local involvement missionally? This is an essential part of what it is to seek first the kingdom. So do you actively engage the mission of God locally? If not, why? Are you actively involved missionally, locally? And if not, why? Number three, what is your involvement globally in the mission of God? What is your involvement globally in the mission of God? Again, not everyone goes overseas, but everyone can participate. When we talk about global mission, you could pray. Do you pray for Senegal and Mozambique or other parts of the world? 1040 window, anywhere where God needs to intervene. Do you learn and study about what God is doing in other places of the world? I love that. I love to research and learn about what God is doing globally. Gives me a greater perspective on who God is and what God is doing, even for us, right? Do you help fund what God is doing globally? When we take a missions offering four times a year, do you participate? How about adopting someone globally? I got a message from our adopted daughter this morning. She just realized that this past week was my birthday. And she sent me a message, something to the effect of, I sure miss you, and I wish I could have been there to give you a big hug. You can adopt somebody globally. We'll help you find somebody. And maybe you are one of those ones that's called to go with. Maybe God is speaking to you about coming with to some other country to make his name known. Amen? Pray through. Your homework this week is pretty much all prayer. and asking God to help you land on some of these answers.